Okay, folks, good to see you tonight. Please take your Bibles tonight and open up to Psalm 114. Psalm 114. This is where we are this evening. So I will ask you in a few moments just to follow as I read, and then we'll have some comments to make on the psalm. Psalm 114. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob, from a people of strange language, Judah was his sanctuary and Israel his dominion. The sea saw it and fled. Jordan was driven back. The mountains skipped like rams, and the little hills like lambs. What ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? Ye mountains, that ye skipped like rams, and ye little hills like lambs. Tremble, thou earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob, which turned the rock into a standing water, the flint into a fountain of waters. So this is a blessed psalm that I hope that you have been enjoying this week. But you know that we are in the section of the psalms that are called the Hallel Psalms, kind of short praise psalms, the Hallelujah Psalms, which is Psalm 113 through 118. Now, the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation, it's actually the first one of the first translations of the Hebrew Bible into another language. And the Septuagint combines this psalm with Psalm 115 to form one psalm, probably because I love it. Probably because you'll notice what is not mentioned in the psalm anywhere. Hallelujah. There's no praise the Lord in this, even though it's in the group, in that group. It's the only psalm in Psalm 113 through 118 that does not contain the phrase hallelujah. The English translation, though, follows the Hebrew arrangement, making this two separate psalms, okay? And I want to read a quote from the Jewish Study Bible about this psalm. The Exodus and its aftermath is celebrated not only as the liberation of Israel, but as an event through which all nature came to see the power of God. The Exodus is a cosmic theophany that alters the course of nature. Cosmic theophany, what an awesome word, you know, the cosmos. God came down and worked, you know, in our earth. And it mentions there, you know, mountains skipping and rivers fleeing. And we'll talk about all that in a moment. But God in this psalm is spoken as leading his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. And he caused the whole earth to be moved at his coming. And we'll see that as we go through this. We're going to be spending a lot of time tonight back and forth in our Bible. So get your fingers ready. Okay. God also, what we see in here is inanimate objects are spoken of as imitating the actions of living creatures when the Lord passes by. Mountains skipping like lambs, you know. And of course, we have to understand something. This is Hebrew poetry, okay? And it's wonderful poetry. God is seen in this psalm as having command over the sea, the rivers, the mountains, and the rock. Okay, And only one phrase to help us understand a little bit. Notice at the end of verse 1, the phrase strange language, okay? That simply means foreign language, okay? So when Israel was in Egypt, they didn't speak the same, and it seemed like a strange language, okay? So, usually we give an outline, okay? And you will notice maybe if you printed off the notes or if you looked at the notes before you came or if you look at the notes when you go back or if you don't look at the notes, it doesn't matter. But there is no outline because the entire psalm is about the Exodus. So there's no need to divide it. But this psalm is a perfect example of Hebrew poetry. There are four stanzas in the psalm and two verses in each. And each verse has perfect parallelism. What do we mean by that? Notice in verse 1, you see Israel and then you see the house of Jacob. Notice also you see Egypt and you see people of a strange language. Okay, so you see this parallelism. Notice in verse 2, what do we see? Judah and Israel. We see sanctuary and we see dominion. In verse 3, the sea and the Jordan. The sea fled and the Jordan was driven back. See the parallelism in it? Verse 4, mountains and little hills. And then what did the mountains do? Skipped like rams and the hills like lambs. And if we see that in verse 3 and 5, and we see that in verse 4 and 6. So there's kind of a combination there. In verse 7, we see the presence of the Lord and the presence of the God of Jacob. And then in the last verse, we see rock and flint and standing waters and fountains of water. So this is this psalm is a perfect example of Hebrew poetry, which kind of also, it doesn't always happen, but it even translates over well into the English, where we see the parallelism and things like that, okay? So let's meditate on this wonderful psalm tonight, and notice with me again, the psalm celebrates Israel's deliverance from the bondage of Egypt, and it is extremely dramatic. It's a dramatic psalm. It's a dramatic poem. It's a dramatic account of what God did. It kind of keeps you in suspense as to the reason for their deliverance, and it works up your interest more and more until the reason is revealed to us in the closing stanza. And the reason that Israel was able to be delivered was the presence of the Master. The word Lord there is Adonai. And I'm sorry, verse 7. The word there is Adonai, the mighty God of Jacob. So what we'll see here in a moment, and keep a mark here because we're going to go to Exodus 12 in a moment, but what we see here is the psalm cites outstanding miracles of the Exodus for the deliverance of Israel from Egypt after the 10 plagues. What don't we see in this psalm? We don't see any of the 40 years. You know, there is the mention of the rock, but we don't see any of Israel's sin. What we see in this is the mighty working of God. This psalm is all about God. And remember last week when we did an introduction to the Hallel Psalms, 113 to 118, these are sung during the Passover, right? And Psalm 113 and 114 in particular were sung at the beginning of the Passover. And what does this psalm celebrate? Israel's deliverance, okay? And we saw in Matthew last week We saw in Matthew last week where it said, and when they had sung a hymn, they went to the Mount of Olives. And this is what they would have been singing, these psalms. Isn't that awesome to think? You know, just as we just sang a song, you know, not only has the church been singing since its inception, but Israel sang. And we have their hymn book right here with us, you know, the book of Psalms. So look at Psalm 12, please, and let's look at first what the psalm speaks about, how God led Israel out of Egypt after the 10 plagues. Psalm 12, verse 31. And he, meaning Pharaoh, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said, and take your flocks, your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. So, what was that? Oh, I didn't say Exodus 12? I said Psalm 12? Oh, Exodus 12. Thank you, wife. Verse 31. She's down there going like this. And I'm like, what is she doing? I'm sorry. Exodus 12, verse 31. I knew what I meant. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs, being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. So what do we see? After the 10 plagues, finally, Pharaoh had enough, and he said, go, leave. You leave, take everything. And then the Egyptian people started saying, here, take money, go, just go, get out. Of course, we know what happened. We'll see that in a moment. But God delivered them. And remember, God said to Moses that I'm going to show Pharaoh who I am. Remember, Moses came to Pharaoh and said, who is the Lord that I should let his people go? Well, the next 10 plagues, if you will, and I don't mean any disrespect by this, but it's God saying, I'll show you who the Lord is. And he showed him, okay? So it cites these miracles of the Exodus, the deliverance of Israel from Egypt after the 10 plagues, to the crossing of the Red Sea. Turn to Exodus 14. Exodus 14, verse 19. So what happens? They leave, they're all happy, everything's going on just fine, and they're camped there by the sea, they're having a nice seaside vacation after all those years in slavery, and all of a sudden somebody off in the horizon sees dust cloud coming. And it's getting closer and closer. And who is it? It's Pharaoh and all his men coming. And now they panic. Okay? And now what is happening? They begin to chide with Moses and say, Moses, you brought us out here to die. Okay? But watch what God does in Exodus 14, 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to those to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Isn't that awesome? The Shekinah glory leaves from guiding them to going behind them and protecting them. And then Moses, with his rod, parts the sea. God sends, and the sea parts, and they walk through the midst of the Red Sea with the water as a wall on either side. Okay? No plexiglass. It was God holding it up. And he dried it out. Okay? And of course, we're not going to read about it, but we know what happens. He removed the cloud, Egypt went in, and they were all destroyed. But that's what the psalm we're just looking at is talking about, the Red Sea. It also talks about the mountains trembling. Do we see that? Look at Exodus 19, where we see Mount Sinai trembling. Okay, so God worked mightily. We're in verse 16, Exodus 19, 16. God worked mightily through the 10 plagues, and then he came down and parted the sea. And also God came down, and he came upon Mount Sinai, and notice what it says in verse 16 of Exodus 19. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. Now imagine that. The glory cloud is on the mountain, and there's a trumpet just sounding. And who's trembling here now? The people. Okay? This is God's presence on planet Earth. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Isn't that awesome? And the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. I just think that's awesome. And of course, we know later he came down and his face was shining, and we know all that. But remember, what did we read in the psalm? When God came, the sea fled, and the mountains skipped like rams and lambs, okay? How about getting water from a rock? Turn back a couple of pages to Exodus 17. Exodus 17. God did so many things for Israel during the Exodus and the 40 years, but I think this is my all-time favorite, you know, because of, in a moment we're going to see the New Testament commentary on this, but this is just, to me, this is awesome. Where are they? In the desert. And what's not too plentiful in the desert? Water. And there's like millions of people and animals, okay, that requires a lot of water, right? And notice what it says in Exodus 17, verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So the first time that we read about this rock, when Israel needed water and they were chiding and they were complaining, God said, Moses, strike the rock. And when you strike the rock, water will come out. Turn ahead, please, now to Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Turn to Numbers 20. Numbers 20, 20, verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hands with his rod. He smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Now, we don't have time to read all of the passage, but what was Moses told this time to do to get water from the rock? Speak to it, okay? But Moses took out his anger from the people of Israel upon the rock. He smote the rock. And that caused God to tell Moses, you can't enter the promised land. You didn't listen to me, okay? Look at Deuteronomy, next book to the right. After Numbers is Deuteronomy. Look at verse 8. Deuteronomy 8. Here is Moses, verse 15. Here is Moses rehearsing to the new generation that's about to enter into the land. And he says in verse 15, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. And what did we read in Psalm 114? That flowing water came out of flint. Okay? All right, how many of you have ever got water out of a rock? Good. All right, one more verse to look at. With this, please turn now to the New Testament book of 1 Corinthians. And here is New Testament commentary on the Old Testament. Okay? So there's no question about this. This is who it was and what happened. 1 Corinthians 10:4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink? For they drank of the same spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Who did the rock represent? And what does it say the rock did? Followed them. Isn't that the coolest thing? Now, I don't know if this is how it happened, but this is how I envision that. The rock just, you know, I don't know if it did that. But whenever they needed water, where was the rock? Right where they needed it. Isn't that cool? That's cool. Okay. I think it is anyway. And then finally, so we see God delivering them. We see God leading them through the Red Sea. We see God miraculously providing water. And then we see in Joshua, the book of Joshua, after Deuteronomy is Joshua, chapter 3 and verse 14, we see them crossing the Jordan, because the Jordan is also mentioned in the psalm. And in Joshua 3, verse 14, the Bible says, and it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up unto a heap very far from the city Adam, that is besides Zeratan, and there... And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho, and the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. So here's another miraculous water crossing. This time the Jordan during its flood stage. But the only difference here is when the priest with the ark put their foot in the water, what happened? All the water that was coming down from Mount Horeb walled up. And all the water that was flowing down just stopped and went down. And all of Israel walked across, second time we hear this, on what? Dry ground. Okay? So God miraculously, and that's what Psalm 114 is talking about, the miracles of God, when God came down and shook nature. It affected the sea, it affected the river, it affected the mountains, it affected the rocks when God came. And they're praising, this psalm is a praise for that. So in back in our psalm here for a minute, in verses 5 and 6, the psalmist moves from making direct statements to asking questions. And again, these questions are an interesting way of arousing interest in what he's trying to do. And what is he trying to do? To honor God, whose very presence was their deliverance. So a lot of times, you'll notice especially when you go through the Gospels, a lot of times a Hebrew way of teaching is by asking questions. And so the psalmist is doing it here. We see that in Jesus asking his disciples, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? So he asked them a question to teach them. So tonight, friends, as we pray, I want you to turn to one more passage, Exodus 12. Tonight as we pray, think of our wonderful God and the miraculous way in which he delivered his people. He did it with his very presence. Look at Exodus 12 and look at verse 51, the last verse in the chapter. And Exodus 12, 51 says, "And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies." So who brought Israel out of Egypt? The Lord did. And look at verse 13, the last two verses, and this is it. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." So the whole time that God led Israel for those 40 years, there he was. Either leading them, or if they were camped, he was over the tabernacle. There he was, leading his people. And isn't it wonderful today we don't have to say, there he is, but here he is. He's right here within us. So the wonderful thing for us to dwell on tonight, friends, is that he is the same God that we just read about. And he has lost none of his power or authority. Therefore, friends, he's able to deliver us. And I hope and pray that you believe that. These are trying times for our country. But God has not lost any of his power. So let's trust him. Let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll have some prayer requests. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this precious psalm, a very short psalm, but such a powerful psalm. We thank you for it. And I pray, Lord, your blessing be upon what we learned. And may we tonight know and meditate on your great power and your great ability. And help us, Lord, to trust you in these trying times. Now, Lord, bless us as we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.